Okay, we are Mem Zayin on the base, Halacha base. We're now going to talk about, in this Mishnah, we're going to talk about Surya. Surya has there's an introductory remark here. It says, a large parts of the area which today is Syria, Aram Naraim, Aram Tova, conquered, of course, by David HaMelech, before the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's called Kibush Yochid. Some ways it's like Eretz Yisrael, some places it's not. Okay, we're going to go, he says there's a debate in the Gemara in Gittin whether Kibush Yochid is Shmei Kibush or not. This Mishnah holds it's Lav Shmei Kibush. One other thing he says, this is another point, we discussed it before, we'll just repeat it again. But the Pasek says, Sviach Tzirch Lo Slaket V'Zirach Lo Tzivtzar, that although the Pasek says you're not allowed to collect your harvest and you can't pick your grapes, it does not mean it can't be harvested at all. Rather, it means in the normal manner, you have to have an altered procedure. So, the procedure is we talked about it before. Mm-hmm. Now, let's just start the Mishnah. So, Eisim Betolash Besorya, you can work with detached produce in a normal manner in Surya. In other words, even though in Eretz Yisrael, whether it's Tolash or whether it's Mechubar, you have to have a Shinoi. But in this is the first difference between Surya and Eretz Yisrael, that even though you have to have a Shinoi, but that's only in the in the connect, in the mechubar. But in the tolash you can use, that's what the first words mean. Oisim betolash besuya, it means you can work in the normal manner. Okay, that's first statement. Avalova mechubar, you can't do the normal manner just like the rest of Eretz Yisrael. That's, of course, Darabonan. Now it gives examples. Doshim v'zayrim, thrashing and winnowing. Dorchim, treading grapes. Marmin, heaping the produce into piles in the normal manner, because it's all, of course, tolish. Avalokotim, labotim, lamoskin, you can't do the harvesting. Obviously, because that's mechubar. Klal, amar, bekiva. Kol shaki yoitzim, mutter ba'aretz. Eisen, eisen, v'zayrim. Anything that is mutter on a Torah level, not on a Darabon level, anything which is much on a Torah level in Eretz Yisrael can be done in Surya even on a Darabon level.
The examples that the Mishnah gives,
yeah.
What do
you need the examples for?
Yeah. Find out frequently.
You're saying is it's pretty obvious, right? It's pretty obvious. All the Mishnah did was give us examples of Tolish and examples of Mechubar. So what do you need for? Is that your question?
I'm saying the fact that you can thresh and winnow and tread and heap, we already learned that. I mean, you're giving a general rule.
We have general rule and then we have the specific examples.
You find that frequently in the Gemara.
I don't have an answer to that question. Question he's asking is it seems to be pretty obvious. If you guys online have any suggestions, you're welcome to submit an answer. The next question is, what's Rabbi Akiva adding? Is he saying anything extra here? I think in variant B they talk about what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Yeah, there's a machlokes which we've mentioned this machlokes Rambam and Rash in the past. I think it's bear mentioning again also, which is that the Rambam holds that the shinui is necessary regardless of whether you did it kedin or not kedin. In other words, regardless of whether you were keeping the field closed or making it hefker, the rule is the same. The Rash holds no. The only time that a shinui is necessary is if someone did something which was not kilvasa. They blocked the field, even if they blocked the field for a short period of time. Once they blocked the field, it kicks in that you have to do it with the shinoi. But if you never blocked the field, so it was hefka the whole time, the rash holds then it's mutter to do it even a regular way. So that was a machlokes we said, and you have to work it out exactly how this works. And that's part of what B is discussing here. the Rosh holds that the produce which came from a field that was left hefker can be done normally. Rosh also can. All right, let's skip that. The detached crop from such a field, however, may be processed with no change. According to this, Rabbi Akiva's rule is explainable as follows: any activity. So listen to the way he goes. Any activity the likes of which is completely permitted in Eretz Yisrael, if the crop was left hefker, then you're permitted in Surya even if the crop was not left hefker. So you have that little knetch there.
Because
what?
Is it Tolish?
Well, we're talking about Tolish. But reaping, which is rabbinically forbidden in the normal manner in Eretz Yisrael, even if the crop was left hefker, it's also in Surya. So that's a nice, you know, kind of like lumdus way to learn Rabbi Akiva. Okay, let's go on right there. Eisen v'tolosh b'Surya. Amar Rav Ug, shelo yehochen v'shtakin shom. Why did the Rabbanan set up this Isser? Why can't you do melacha with the mechubar?
In Surya.
In Surya, correct. So it says over here, we don't want people to go and settle there.
In the eighth year for this purpose?
No.
If it would have been, it's they would have moved there.
Yeah.
Because if you could have a full parnasa, I could go ahead and I could have a full farm and I could always be active there for the whole Shemitah cycle. Maybe I'll move there. So the Rabbanan didn't like that. So they went ahead and made it so that it would not be comfortable. Okay, six. They frowned upon the people living in Eretz Yisrael. And they therefore established laws to discourage such emigration. In this case, if people could profit from Shemitah's produce in nearby Surya, they would leave Eretz Yisrael, where earning a living is difficult during Shemitah, and settle in Surya. That's a permanent settlement. Okay? Now we're going to get to the temporary in just a second. So the Gemara asked, but Tolish Lamahu Mutter. So why were they Mata the Tolish? May as well go all the way. Let's make it impossible to, you know, let's make it pretty much the same, right? So the Gemara says, Min go du chame rivcha kariv. So he translates this as from the poor man, so the poor man can see the possibility of earning a small profit close by, so lo nafik, he won't leave Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, so what he says the pshat here is that as long as the poor guy can go out to Surya and get some tolish, so that's enough for him to get by during the eighth year, during the seventh year.
Sell it.
And he won't move.
And he won't move. Exactly. He won't move. There's something for me to get by on. So therefore, I'll go there. You know, I won't leave Eretz Yisrael. In other words, if you would answer everything completely, what's the poor person going to do? He's going to move all the way out. He's going to move even further than Surya. I think that's what it says over here. It says over here in the third line, in the eighth, the poor might migrate even further into this diaspora beyond Surya. Now that the poor can find some related livelihood, so they won't leave to the diaspora. On the other hand, since the profit in Syria is small, they won't settle in there permanently either. They'll move there temporarily till the end of Shvius. So this is kind of like, this is really cutting hairs over here as to how people will think regarding this. You know, this is what it says.
What's beyond Syria? What's that called?
Lebanon is
whatever it is.
Science,
you? You could go. You can go to Iraq and Iran. I don't know.
But there's no Isser of Shvius or any of these.
Nothing. Things. Nothing. I mean, I wouldn't want to live in Eretz Yisrael if I was poor. I would just move someplace where there's no Trumas and Mitzvahs and Bikurim and all this other stuff. I mean, it seems to me that's a 20% increase in my income. I mean, I don't know why they're not talking about that.
Iraq.
Yeah. So they asked the following: Can I go ahead and grind produce in the normal manner with a guy in Eretz Yisrael, this land of Eretz Yisrael? This it means even other Mitzrayim, I think so.
In other words, I picked it from questions can I bring to grind?
So, yeah, so it says over here, the issue hinges on the following question. This is in the bottom line of 9. How did they formulate their decree against working normally with detached produce? Did they forbid, we're talking about Eretz Yisrael, so working with Tolish is also in Eretz Yisrael. So when they made that issue of working with Tolish, did they forbid the action per se, or was it a decree that the owner not act as an owner normally does,
picking
it regularly? If they forbade the act, so that would be forbidden for the Jew to do it even if he's working with the detached produce of a non-Jew. If they forbade the owner from acting as an owner, then in this case, he's helping a non-Jew who's not bound by the rules. So that's how he's explaining this question. Mahu l'tchonim ha-goy bo'aretz. Amalei masiso amrashu osur. So Rabbi Yossi said that the Mishnah indicates it's also because it says in the Mishnah, Oysim tosh v'surya of lo b'mechobar. It sounds like the Mishnah is saying that you're only mutter to work with detached in Surya in a regular manner. But Ba'aretz, that's the implication is, I feel B'tolshe Yasser, that it will be Yasser anyway, in any event.
That doesn't tell me to work through a guy, it just says work to me.
It says
it
what?
Answer the question. How did this answer the question?
Because the assumption is that it's across the board.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, in here, he decides to put in a very famous machlokas. In footnote 11, in the brackets, he talks about the famous machlokas, the Beis Yosef, and the Mabit. When it came, I think we mentioned this already once before, we'll just mention it again because it's here, because this Gemara is one of the riyas to the Mabit. The question was, because this is the Hetter Mechira issue. If I sell the karka in Eretz Yisrael to a goy, is that mutter, are those payers going to be mutter for shrites? So the Beis Yosef said, it's only a din in Yisrael, but if it's owned by a guy, it's not a problem. And the Mabit said, no, it's not going to be a heter. Now, one of the proofs brought from Mabit was this Gemara. It says, is it forbidden to grind produce with a non-Jew? In Eretz Yisrael, that's what we're asking, right? Clearly, a non-Jew's produce has shvias sanctity. If there was no sanctity to the produce of a goy, what was the shiloh? Well, of course, I can do melacha with it. There's no kedusha shvias on that. So why would there be a problem with me grinding with it? So that was the Mabit's riot. So our Gemara is a riot to the Mabit that you cannot. Hetter Mechira doesn't do anything because you're going to end up with the same problem anyway. So Rabbi Yosef Karo responded that our Gemara is talking about a special case where it was originally owned by a Jew and he sold it to a guy. So there was a special reason why it's a half a timsa. So obviously a pretty daikic answer. It doesn't say that in the Gemara anywhere.
Originally owned by a Jew.
So when it grew, it took on Kedusha Shvias.
Right.
Then he sold it to a guy. So now, can I work with the guy? Now, after the Mabit passes away, his son says, but in response to the Beis Yosef's answer, he says the Gemara doesn't make any sense. The Marit, do you know that the Marit is the son of the Mabit? Okay. So he said, this is true as Marit 43, that if he's correct that the Gemara is talking about that special case, the Gemara's proof would be incomprehensible. Because the Gemara proves that grinding with a non-Jew is forbidden from the fact that our Mishnah rules that one may work in Surya with detached produce, but not with attached produce, which implies in Eretz Yisrael, you can't work even with detached produce. Now, what's the case of Surya? The case of Surya is not a case where it was originally owned by a Jew and then it was sold to a non-Jew. That's not the case. Surya, the assumption is... This is really addressing your question. What was the basis for the Gemara to assume that the produce was of a non-Jew? Surely it's because most fields in Surya are owned by non-Jews.
Right.
That answers your question. The Gemara made that assumption, and that's why they brought a proof to the question. In other words, your question is addressing your question. Shamsi asked a question before, guys online, that he didn't understand what was a Gemara's Raya. How do we know we're talking about a Goy in Surya? We're talking about Yidden. The answer is, the Rabbit's son, the Maharit, said, of course we're talking about Goyim, because most of the fields were owned by Goyim in Surya, and therefore that's going to slug up the Beis Yosef's answer, because then the Gemara's proof is no proof at all. Okay, that's beautiful side point there. Okay, next. But I just want to say one other thing here. In the footnote, he does give a little bit of a bias in his footnote, the way he writes it. He says, Rabbi Yosef Cairo held that it did not, while Mabit and most other poskim maintained that it did. That is a politically, that is a political statement. You cannot say most other poskim did. You can say the poskim that you respect and follow do, but you can't say most. I have to say there's a long list of poskim, long list that did held from. And in fact, that was an unger numina heter that was followed for generations based on the shurim that I've heard. So I don't know where he comes to write that. It's been a machlokas since the time immemorial. Never, it predates the Beis Yosef and the Mabit. This machlokas goes back forever. So, but I just want to point out that line, I wish he wouldn't have put that line in there, and most other poskim. Because when you write that, you're giving everybody who's reading this parish a certain slant that the Mabit was like the predominant shita. It's not correct. I mean, I don't think it's correct. I don't want to say it is not correct. I'm not the person to make that decision. But from what I've heard, I don't know that that's correct. Makom shu nachal v'lo nevad. So, this is going on to the Mishnah, right? In a place where the produce may be eaten, but it may not be worked, such as the oily Mitzrayim, right? Because that's what we said, that you could eat it past the beer, but you couldn't do the malacha. Mahu la'asker behem tosham. So the Gemara is asking a question. Let's talk about the behema. So behema, so we said in the Mishnah that if you sell you could sell an animal, because what are you going to say? He isn't going to use it. We still said, right? He isn't going to use it for plowing. He'll use it for shkita. So therefore, if you have something you could be toileted in, so it's mutter. Now that's fine for mechira, but what about schiros? If you're renting it out, it can only be for one reason. You want to use it for malacha, which is going to obviously be for plowing, which is osur. So there's no heter to do schiros.
Is this for a Jew or for a guy?
For a Jew. That's what we're talking about here. So can, what about the areas, right? So one other thing. By Shabbos, the rule is, right, if I own an animal, I can't let my animal work on Shabbos. So I can't rent it to a guy either, right? Anyway, so let's see, what does it say over here? Yeah, the footnote goes on to the next page on 48A3. It's also prohibited to rent out an animal to a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael because the rabbis required that a person withhold his animal from working the land during Shvius in Eretz Yisrael, just as one must withhold his animal from work on the Sabbath. Look at that. So you can't even give your animal to a guy during the Shemitah year, okay? So I don't know if I said that right. So the Gemara inquires, so...
But that's only in Eretz Yisrael.
That's
right?
The question. The Gemara is asking, is that Isser in place Derabbanon, and therefore they did not institute the decree in a place, right, to prevent the prohibition, which itself would only have been Derabbanon to begin with? That's the question. Okay?
Like in Syria.
Like in Syria, yeah, or in the other Mitzrayim. Where, again, it's Nevad in Mitzrayim. It's Nevad. It's Nechav Lonev. I'm sorry. It's not Nevad, But that loy nevan is only drabonon. So the question is, if the loy nevan is drabonon, are you allowed to rent out your animal in such a case? That's the question. The Gemara answers Rav Levi Tan Barya Shalom Rav Yitzchak Rav Yimi. So he asked the question, and they said it's aser. Rav Hoshe Yavla Amamaya Pritin, and it says that Rav Hoshe used to give the goyim. It says here he would require the people who rented out their animals to goyim to give coins they received from the rentals to non-Jews. He didn't want to get hanar or something from it. Right? He didn't let them keep the money. Instead, required them to give the money away to non-Jews. That's one pshat. And the Gemara says, we'll say another pshat in a second. Elo shalo yatn lo mishum shu aser, not because he held renting was aser, which was the previous shita. Elo shalo yached behemto im hagoy. There's a separate iser, you know, from the Gemara of Adizara, that you're chayshet the guy for bestiality, and therefore you're not allowed to give your animals over to Goyim, whatever, because it's Yisra Yichud. It's Yichud. Lithaver. So
Lithaver. You sell it to them?
No, you can't rent it to them. You can't rent it to them. So that was his problem, in which case it's also all years of Shemitah, nothing to do with Shemitah. So anyway, that's one Perish. But in the bottom he says over here, that he would, others explain the Gemara means that the local governor would conscript animals from his citizens to plow his fields. He would pay off the governor's agents not to take his animals. So basically, it's a bribe, right? We've been bribing government officials for many years. next. Now, it says you can work with detached produce. So manan kam yamin, what kind of produce are we talking about? Im beperes shishis shenechnas l'shvias, if this grew in the 6th year and now it entered into the 7th year, afilo ba'aretz mutar. Because once it reaches 1/3 of its growth, that's means sigil la'inus ha'maiser, so you know that it takes on the din of the 6th year, right? That's the rule by tvua, by grain. If it grows 1/3, in the 6th year, then even though you pick it in the 7th year, it doesn't matter. It's 100% mutter. Yeah. So, that what are we talking about? Surya for even in Eretz Yisrael itself, it's mutter. Im beperes shvias shiyotz lemoitzoy shvias. If we're talking about the 8th year and it grew in the 7th year, so then you have a different problem. Why?
That shvias growth.
But the Gemara is going to ask now. The problem is like this. Laharosh mutar v'liktzar asar. That harisha should be mutar. It says over here. That means harvesting in the usual manner produce that grew from the 7th year into the 8th year is forbidden, because it grew 1/3 in the 7th year. So you have to harvest it in a changed manner. But plowing a field in the 8th year is permitted. This is a statement.
Yeah, because that's nothing to do with the
7th year.
Right.
Oh, so what the Gemara is asking, yet the Mishnah implies plowing is prohibited in Surya. It says you're allowed to work with the Tolish, but you can't work with the Mechubar, the way they're translating it, right? That's what 19 says. And stating that in Surya you can't work with Mechubar, the Mishnah surely, also means to prohibit working the ground itself.
In the 7th year.
In the 7th year. No. Oh, you're in the 7th year, you mean. In the 7th year. Yeah, good point. Thus, the Mishnah cannot be referring to produce that grew in the 8th year when plowing is permitted. That's you're right. You're absolutely right. But the Gemara is trying to understand where are these pears coming from? If they grew in the 7th year and you're picking them in the 8th year, then it wouldn't be also to plow, and the assumption, and it says in the Tosefta explicitly, that when it says that you can't work with the Mechubar, it means you can't work with the Mechubar, and you can't plow either in the Mechubar. So that's what we're trying to understand. Where are these pairs? Which year are we in? If we're in the 7th, if we're in the 8th year, then the plowing should have been mutter.
Right.
So therefore, when it says in the Mishnah the plowing is usur,
Well, so minnows are plowing full fruits into the ground for some reason. In other words, the issue is it's plowing at the same time as there's mechuber. Right?
No. It has nothing to do with that. What would normally happen is you pull all the pears out of the ground,
and then you plow
to prepare for the next year.
Right.
That's certainly usur, even in Surya, right?
In the seventh year.
But if we're in the if the pears that we're talking about that are tolish are we're saying is mutter, there must be something about those pears which is usur in Eretz Yisrael. So if it grew in the sixth and you picked it in the seventh, it would be mutter in Eretz Yisrael also. Can't be talking about that case. If it grew in the seventh and it was picked in the eighth, then the harisha would have been mutter and it would have been usur in Surya. So therefore, it must be we're just working it out. It's working it out. So therefore, Ella, now we're in 48b, finally. Ella Kinan Kayomen, what are we talking about? But Perishvias Vishvias. So this is how the Gemara reached this conclusion. They're teaching us along the way all the rules. So it's interesting the way the Gemara does this. Rav Huna, Azalitzur, if also
went. I don't understand the answer. We're talking about produce of trees from trees.
Right.
So when did that grow?
In Shrius. Yeah.
So what's it?
It's kind of like just setting up the case that this must be the case. If there's a if
the,
this is the only way that it makes sense. The conclusion seems to be a pretty obvious conclusion, but there are so many other things that we're going to talk about soon, where we're talking about mixtures of different years that the Gemara just needed to clarify it, that here we're only talking about the year. Yeah.
Is used to describe the stuff that grew by itself afterwards.
After growth.
After, but that's not this.
No, we're not talking about
Sichem. This is where we planted this. Sichem come, this is not mixed
up. Well, I mean, you're raising another problem. How did this produce get here to begin with? So, and that's part of the problem. So you planted it in the sixth year when it was mutter, and it didn't grow. You know, maybe it was, you know, well, 2 weeks before it didn't grow except until the seventh year. So the one third was reached during the seventh year. Huna azal tzur v'asalain hado ashkiyasa. So he went to the city of Tzur, which is a city in Surya, and he asked them from watering the fields during Shvias. Watering the fields. So Shamar Biyosef Yomahar, he says, V'ya'os, and it's correct, Hadol lo b'mechubar hi, is this watering not performed on produce which is attached to the ground? And we said you can't work with attached produce in Surya, right? Now the Gemara asks, Hatnina mashkin beis hashlachin v'maydu v'shiyas. When it comes to irrigated field, you can water fields so that you don't lose the produce. In other words, it's like a davar halavit, right? So why did you prohibit the watering? Let's see. It says here, three. Similarly, it's permissible to water a field during Shvias. Okay. It's a davar halavit. So the Gemara says, I'm reviewed on Lizraim Shabbat. When do you water a field? It's for the seeds. But when he asked watering it, he wasn't talking about the seeds there. They were doing it for the land to make the land kind of like soften it up or something so it doesn't dry out. So it was working the land with the water. That's what he forbade. It said over here, it says over here to make the land easier to plow. Okay. So if that's the case, if it's for seeds, then you could even do plowing. You should be able to do plowing even. And it says over here, for example, it should be permitted to dig furrows around the perimeter of the field so they become filled with water for irrigating the seeds in the field. Whatever. So that remains unanswered, that question. Okay. Let's go on to the next mission. Now we're talking about these are, and the best thing to do here is to read the Mara folder inside because he lays it out very clearly. Let's look at the Mara folder here. Btzolim shiyodu aleihem geshamim. You got it? Btzolim shal shishis shenithnasu l'shvias. You have six-year onions that were growing into the seventh year. V'yodu aleihem geshamim v'tzomchu. And there was some rain, and they sprouted some new leaves.
In the seventh year.
But they had already grown a good deal. You know, they had you know, the bulb had grown certainly at least a third in the sixth year. Now they're going to produce some leaves because of this rain. So hishkiru, hold on, let's take a look at the color of the leaves. If hishkiru does not mean black here, don't make that mistake. Hishkiru means that it's a dark green. So biyadua shagodav osifu, v'asu gidul hashvias mavatlan ha'ikar afapishu maruba. So then we know that they grew in the seventh year, and it's mavatal, the gidul hashvias are mavatal, the ikar plant, even though the ikar plant is much more maruba, it's got much more than it had grown for weeks and weeks and weeks during the sixth year. But during the seventh year, it grew these leaves. These leaves are green. Asher. It ushers the whole plant. Hariku. If they are kind of like, what does he translate it? Let's see. Became pale. That's the way he translates it. It means it became pale. It doesn't mean it became green. See, this is very, very tricky. Yorak is usually green. And shachar is usually black. In this Mishnah, it's just the opposite. Shkorim means they became dark green. Horiku, they became pale. It means they were losing their color. So then it's mutter, because then it's clear that they did not draw the nutrients from the ground. There are a lot of footnotes here.
Because this is at the beginning of the decaying process, and therefore those are signs that they're not continuing to draw nutrients. So they are like talish.
Exactly what we're talking about here and all the issues here. This is footnote 8, footnote 9, 10. There's a lot of footnotes here. Let's see what we can do over here to shorten this up. Let's see here. Let's see, in number 8, he mentions a certain, what is it called? About the rule, how things grow. What's that called? Agricultural protocol. Growth can be generated by the onion itself. Even when the onions are no longer connected to the ground, they can grow leaves. This can also be generated by the absorption of nutrients from the ground. When the six-year onions are exposed to rainfall and sprout leaves, we're in doubt. Did the growth, was it self-generated? In other words, did it come out of the bulb? Or did some of it come from the ground? Okay? If the latter, then the leaves are seventh-year growth, and the onions themselves must be assumed to contain some additional growth from the seventh year. All right. Now, it's evident from the discussions that follow, the Mishnah is talking about onions that not only grew in the sixth year, but they also, let's see here. See, again, we mentioned this before. Because it's a vegetable goes well most of the year that they're picked. So if you picked it in the seventh year, it should automatically be shvius. So he keeps saying this terrace over and over again. So what they did was, several answers to this problem. According to Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah, the true determining factor for onions is reaching the stage at which they are ready to be picked, having completed their growth. Then, even if they're not actually picked, they're classified according to that year. Our Mishnah can be discussing onions that were ready to be picked in the sixth year, but they were left in the ground unpicked.
They're self-sustaining.
Yeah. So then others explain this talking about where they were picked during the sixth year. We talked about this. And then they were left lying on the ground.
Right. So that's when the leaves are going
to
come out.
And then started to rain. And then they got a little moisture, and then they started growing. So we don't know what it's, we're in doubt, right? We don't know exactly. Alternatively, we're discussing onions picked during the 6th year, which were then replanted illegally in the 7th year. He brings that to Chumash HaRashba. Okay. Now, the 10. 10 is where he gets into the lumdus. Leaves that grow just from the nutrients are pale in color, just from the nutrients in the onion. Okay, so basically this is just, take a look at the leaves, determine, based on the color of the leaves, where did they get the nutrients for these leaves? Did they come just from the bulb, or did they come from deep underneath the bulb, from the ground itself? So it says over here that if it's pale, then it's from the bulb. If it's green, then it must have come from the ground. All right. Now, although the additional growth is just minimal, it's just a little bit, this is a rule called Gidulin Mevatlin Es HaIkar. That's the terminology used. That which grows is Mevatl the Iker, even though the Gidulin is just a small amount. Right? Now, how does that work?
What is the Gidulin in this case? The
what?
Leaves,
the leaves. The leaves, yeah. The Gidulin and Mevatl the Iker.
And the Iker is what? Bulb.
The bulb is anchor, sure. Now, he says over here, in the brackets, he says, this is not typical. Normally, you need rove to have a bittle. Rather, the growth of the new part and the original part transforms it and imparts to it its own forbidden status. He brings that from Tosfos Rav Kiveger. Okay, Chazon Ish suggests that the reason for this may be that the fruit or vegetable continues to grow when a fruit or vegetable continues to grow, all parts of it are being rejuvenated by its growth, which is why it remains fresh while on the vine begins to wilt and deteriorate once it's picked. The natural makeover of the fruit or vegetable enables the new growth to convert the status of the root itself from permitted to forbidden. So that's even more, it's kind of like a sustainment type of a thing, of a svara. Okay, these are different svaras. Okay, next.
The different svaras that show you how the new stuff sort of defines what it is.
Yeah. Right. It kind of transforms it, yeah. Then the Mishnah gives another criteria. He uses the following criteria. Don't look at the color of the leaves. Look at whether you can pull the onion out of the ground by the leaves. Because normally that's the way it is. Apparently when onions grow, they start to pop up out of the ground. And you have leaves there, you pull the onions right out of the ground with the leaves. So that's what he says. If those leaves can be pulled, you can pull those onions out, then you see that those are robust, and those are for sure seventh grade. Shrius. And a shrius, and it would be awesome. If they're weak, then you know that it's not from the ground. Correct. Yeah. According to Rav Chanina ben Antigonus, this is the point here, the argument here in the end of 14. According to Rav Chanina ben Antigonus, even if the leaves did not turn a dark green, but you can pull them up, it's osur. So the Tanakhama holds once they're pale, it's mutter. He holds no, you have to do the pull test. Is that right?
Even without water?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not going to try it because I like to eat my onions fresh and not leave them for 2-3 weeks. But Shamsi says, and those of you on the phone who couldn't hear him, because he talks very, very softly, he said that if you leave onions in your cupboard for 3 weeks, you will see new growth sprouting out of their onions, I don't know if you've ever seen that in your house, but
it looks like a scallion coming out of the top.
That's right.
Looks like a scallion, yeah. So there you go. So maybe that's what we're talking about over here. Now, this is a tricky part, this part of the Mishnah. Keneged Kain, Mitzoy Shvius Mutarim. Conversely, in the year following the Shvius, they are permitted. So now, what does this mean exactly? Now, let's just talk this out. What did we just say? We just said, right, if you had a sixth-year onion, and it was on the ground in the seventh year, and it grew some growth in the seventh year, if the leaves are very green, then what? We said that the gidulin mevatlin es ha'ikar, that what even though it's a smaller amount, but the fact that it grew, it takes on a new din of Shemitah. So now let's move the scale, let's move our timeline to after Shvius. We have Shvius onions that grew, and then they were left into the eighth year. Some rain came down, and they sprouted some. Gidulin.
Can you undo
the Shvius? Because just like we said, the gidulin mavatal le'ikra to make the mussar, let's use that same svara in the eighth year to say that it makes a mutter. Does that make sense?
Can new growth undo the title of Shvius?
Can it be mutter the Shvius?
This is independent of the color of the leaf now. Are we going with the
Let's use the color of the leaves. Yeah, sure.
New green growth.
New green growth. That's what we use to prove that it grew.
That means
gathered from the ground, right? New green growth. Let's say that it's Mavatal the Iker. So that was one way to read the Mishnah and the Rash and Tosis, both in the Rush. If you look at the second paragraph in footnote 10, 16, Rush and Rash to our Mishnah reject this approach, asserting it's impossible that a minimal permitted growth in the eighth year would suffice to change the status of a much larger root from forbidden to permitted. They reject this. They feel it just can't be.
What do you mean, larger root?
In other words, when we say root, we mean the bulb, right? The bulb, which is the root of these leaves, right? The leaves are growing out of a bulb, which is the root. So, and there's maybe a little root coming out of the bulb too, but that's not important. The whole bulb, though, right? So they're saying it's not we're going to have to explain what the...
Like, they don't want to apply it in Shvia, so they don't want the whole principle to work.
So they have to accept the idea of Gedul Mavat Lasa Iker, but only Lechumra, not Lekula. Okay? Now, so what do they say? So this, they say, they learn different pshat in the Mishnah. This part of the Mishnah is therefore not talking about the exact same case as what we said before. Before I said we were talking about the six-year onion that got moved into the seventh. So then I thought the end is therefore Kenegdon, the seventh year that got moved into the eighth. No. Kenegdon means the same case. You had a six-year onion, it got moved into the seventh year, a little bit of growth, and it became Osir. Move it into the eighth year, a little bit more growth is mavatalet. That's what the Mishnah means. That the little bit of growth that grew in the eighth year will be mavatal, the little bit of growth that grew in the seventh year.
And they're all tallish in this case.
It's on the ground. It's on the ground. It's on the ground. I mean, it's not. We didn't bury it inside the ground. Except according to one reason. Yeah. So let's leave it like that, okay?
How is this growth in the eighth year,
Mavato,
that grew in the seventh year, different?
That's much different. That's not a majority. The majority of the peri is mutter. Majority grew in the sixth year, And we have even a little bit more in the eighth year. So we've got a big majority against that little bit that grew in the seventh year. But we have, this is the way we get around the problem. They're refusing to accept the idea that the gedulin of the eighth year would be mevatel the whole din of Shemitah, which is interesting. A very interesting quote from the Rishonim. Okay, let's go a little further. Keni Masnisa. The Gemara says, this is what the Mishnah means. Shchayrin Asurin. If they're dark, it's Asur. The Yeroikin Mutalin. If they're pale, it's Mutar. Now, what exactly the Gemara is coming to tell us here? Footnote 17 explains the following. That the Gemara is trying to tell you what I told you not to say. You would be tempted to say Shchayrin means that Shchayrin means they turn black, and Horiku means they turn green. If that's what, by the way, Rabbi, if this cold in this room is making you sick, I will bring a heater next time. I'm serious. I'll bring a heater and make sure that there's this heat in this room. I apologize that it's so cold in here.
That's your fault.
It is my fault. Everything's my fault. Ask my wife. Everything's my fault. It doesn't do anything.
It doesn't work.
Doesn't do a thing. That's what Sammy told me. I mean, it's easy. I could bring in a floor heater, no problem. No problem. Okay. Keni Masnisa. So again, what the Gemara is trying to say here is like this. You might think Shchayrin means that it's black. What black means, it's rotting, right? And Hiriko means it's turning green, which means it's growing. In which case, the Mishnah's Girsa is wrong, because the Mishnah can't say that it's Hishkiru Asurin. Hariku mutarin wouldn't make any sense. If it's rotting, it's usher. We should have to say shkarin is mutar because it's rotting. So you see, it's not growing. And hariku, it's turning green. Then it's usher.
He said hariku was pale.
So that's what they explained that the Gemara is trying to tell you here. Don't think that we have a wrong girsa. Rather, the girsa is kenu asisa. This is the girsa. This is correct. That's the way he explains the Gemara. Shchayrin asurin, yirokin mutarin. Okay, so just verifying what we said before was correct. I don't want to go too much into it. It could get into Girsolis issues. Okay. Now we're on Mem Tes Amud Aleph. How do we do? How long did that take? Wow. That took 50 minutes to learn that block. Okay. Wow, I told you this is a hard block. And I hope you have patience to go through this. I really want to get through as much as we can. I'll go a little faster. You have an onion which you took maestros off, and then you replanted it again. Once it turns dark green, so you have to take maestros again. But you have to take maestros, not lefi cheshbon, you have to take maestros on the whole thing all over again. Because what happens is the moisture of the leaves indicates that there's like new growth that has permeated through the whole vegetable.
Right, coming from the ground.
And the whole vegetable, therefore, takes on another din. You have to do it all over again. Reb Chiya, b'shem Reb Yochanan, b'tzal shakarai, u'shesaloi, b'kiven shehishrish. Notice the difference between the language here. The first one on the left was Rabbi Yaisi, and then Rabbi Yarkanon, he said, once it's hishkir, once it turns black, once it turns dark green. The second one is mikiven shehishrish, once it takes root, you have to take maestros. Okay? Even though there's no new growth. Let's see, there's a lot of footnotes here, but they don't explain why. Let's see, the Rash Siri in 7, he brings from Rash Siri Lo that the new sap that rises into the onion through these roots nullifies the sap that was previously in the onion. Mm-hmm. So we view the onion as being permeated completely by new sap, and that's enough to make it a new crop, and therefore you have to give maestros. Okay, let's go on. The Gemara now turns to the Mishnah's concluding ruling. Conversely, the year following the Shemitah, it is mutter. For lo shanya, and there's no difference in this regard. Bain, and there's a lot of Gersalus issues over here, but we're not going to read the English side, Bein Sha'akaron Bishmias, the Shusolim Lamitzvah Shmias, whether you were picked them up, in other words, these are 6 year onions, and it doesn't make a difference whether you picked them up in the seventh year and planted them again after the seventh year, Bein Shusolim Bishmias, or where he first planted the onions in the seventh year. So what? It was a 6 year onion that you planted in the seventh year.
Yeah, and we're saying that's meaningless. You know, it's planted in the seventh year.
So let's see how do you learn this. Let's see, number 10, the way he's learning the first statement was they grew in the sixth year, and then you picked them, you picked it out of the ground. Then you planted it again in the seventh year, it just grew a little bit, and then you pick it out of the ground. And then you planted
it. When did you pick it out of the ground? In the seventh year?
Yeah. It says over here, we speak here of six-year onions that were uprooted in the seventh year before they had a chance to grow much in that year. So they were... And then they were replanted in the eighth year. So you have 3 years, mainly in the sixth, a little bit in the seventh, a little bit in the eighth. That's 10. And the last one, let's see here. The last one is what? Onions. Let's see. Seventh year they're planting. They were not gross of a previous year. Okay, in this one, they were actually planted in the seventh year, and then they were then replanted in the eighth year, and they grew more. So the Gemara is saying like this. The final ruling, let's look at 12. The onions of the seventh year experienced growth in the eighth year are permitted. It didn't make it clear. Are we talking to where it was first planted in the seventh year? Where they then plucked and grew more in the eighth year, or whether it's referring back to the original case of the six-year onions, which grew a bit in the seventh year. So in other words, what I explained before, that we're talking about, I explained from Tosfos in the Rosh, right? Remember I explained how the Rishonim explained the case is talking about, where it was sixth, seventh, and eighth. That's goof of the Gemara's kasha over here. Are we talking about that case, or even where it grew in the seventh, and then you picked it up out of the ground, and it only grew in the seventh, and then you replanted it in the eighth. Okay. If the onions were first planted in Shvius, their roots are forbidden Shvius growths.
Right.
So if the Mishnah's final ruling, speaking about a case, then it's teaching that the permitted post-Shvius growths can nullify the forbidden Shvius roots. If the Mishnah is speaking about onions that were plucked in the seventh year, where the roots grew in the sixth year, and then subsequently it became osur, so that's a different, then it would be the original pshat that we said earlier. So in short, let's just look how it says it in short. In short, the Gemara's question is it's in 12 all the way on the left. In short, then the Gemara's question is our Mishnah teaching that permitted growth can nullify a forbidden root or not? That is the question. In other words, that question of Gidulin, Mavatlan, Nisa, Ikar, is that what the Mishnah is teaching us or not? That seems to be the question. Okay. Rav Zeira Amar, Mikivin Sharabah Lo HaChadosh, Motar. So Rav Zeira said, as soon as the Chadosh has more, as the eighth year has exceeded the size of the original onion, it's Motar. It's a din of rov. New growth makes it Motar. And Rav Loi, Rav Sint, Rav Imi Shavayin Rami, also they say, no, it's going to remain, it's forbidden. Even if the eighth year growth exceeds the original onion, it still says also. That's what they say. So we have a machlokas. So the Gemara says, Masisa pliga areb law va'arebimi. There's a Mishnah that disagrees with them. Why? There's a Brisa. So the Brisa says a whole conversation here between Rav Shimon and the Chacham. And here comes the Brisa. We can go through it very quickly. Zahaklal, this is the rule. Hi, Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon, Rav Yeshua. Rav Shimon was quoting Rav Yeshua in earlier Tana. This is the famous din of something that has a heter like Tevel, which has a Dabar Sheishal Matirin because you can be mafresh Trumas and Maisus on it. So in other words, if Tevel becomes Mu'uruv and a Taruvus, you can go ahead and be Mafresh, Trumas and Maisus, be Malkam Acher, and then it will become Mutter, and therefore there's no Bittel on that Tevel. Umaisus Sheni, same thing, it could be Paidet. Hektish could be Paidet. Chodosh, it becomes Mutter naturally once the first day of Pesach comes. So Chodosh becomes Mutter as well. So there's no Shear. If it gets mixed up in Taruvus, it's Osir. Elamim Aminoi Kol Shehu, Shein Aminu Nois and Tom. That's the rule that 1 in 60, you need at least 60 if it's Ein Aminoi. Now, if it's Chol Davar Shein Yei Ein Lo Matirin, this is 49a4. If we're talking about something that has no Matirin, like, for example, Truma, there's no Matir. Chal is no Matir. Orla is no Matir. Klein is no Matir. Nosalam Chacham Shes, and then there was a Shear. Then Min B'minoi, Shalom B'minoi, Menois and Tom, everything is totally Menois and Tom. So that's what Reb Shimon quoted from Rabbi Yeshua. Now, Hoteva, now the Chachamim said back to them, we're still quoting the Brice. The Chachamim said to Reb Shimon, they said, we have a Kasha. Hare Shvias, Ein Lo Matirin, we're going to have a Mishnah later on in the seventh parak that says if Shvias gets mixed up in Kol Shehu, it's Osir. Shvias is going to Osir any Taruvas. So they're asking him from that Mishnah. V'lo Nosil HaChachamim Shir. And there's no shear in that Mishnah. There's no shear. We say it's Osir Mekol Shehu. According to your klal, it's Davar She'ein Lo Matirin, should be Batal in Shishim or Min B'mino, right? That's the question they asked him. So the answer that he gave them back, so he answered them. He said, Lo, you don't understand that Mishnah later on. That Mishnah in the seventh parak that says that Shvias is Bekol Shehu, that's talking about a special case. In Mamartim is Shvias. If you're talking about Shvias, that's a special case. Sheino Seres Kol Shehu Elva Beer. That's only by beer. That is to say, if something was shayach to have beer on it, even a minute amount, then it's Asas Bekol Shehu. Why is that? Because he held like this. Bior now Bior, see this is a little complicated because Bior, it's a machlokus what Bior is. As you all know, we mentioned this many times already, that's a machlokus v'shainim, whether Bior is just being mafkirit or whether Bior is destroying it, right? The Rambam holds you have to destroy it. The Ramban holds you have to be mafkirit. And then there's the Ravid, by the way, who has a middle shita. The Ravid holds that if the kol ha'chayim and hasoda is locally, so then you can be mafkirit. But if the whole area, state or medina, if the whole medina has kol ha'chayim and hasoda, then you have to destroy it. So the Ravid has a middle ground where he gives credence to the Ramban and to the Rambam at the same time. But the main reason I'm mentioning this is because, what would you call beer? Is beer, if something gets mixed in, I'm talking about Shvias, right? Something Shvias gets mixed into a Taruvus, right? Yeah. Now, it becomes Chayiv and beer. Is that a Davar Shiyesh Lo Matirin or Ein Lo Matirin?
What is it? What is it being mixed into? It depends on which one it is.
Well, I want to first decide, is it Davar Shiyesh Lo Matirin or not? I don't have to decide. I don't have to give more detail. You have a Taruvus or Shvias, and it becomes Roy for Bior. Is that a Davar Shiyesh Lo Matirin or not?
Yes.
Yes. Why do you say yes?
Because after the Shvias year, it'll be Mutter.
Doesn't become mutter by itself. It's chayv and beer.
You said
beer. What did you say, Tzvi?
That the beer is different than kedusha shvius. Once it hits the level of beer, if you have to destroy it, you got to get rid of it and you can't use it anymore.
So you hold that shvius is an example of a davar she'ein lo matirin, correct?
Once it hits beer, correct.
Right.
So
if you hold like the Rambam, then you have to destroy it. It's not a Davar Shiyesh Lo Matirin. It's going to have to be destroyed.
So where's this Gemara?
What?
You wait for the
If it's in a taruvus, right? If you hit Hanukkah and you're in the eighth year and it's in a taruvus, it's a davar she'ein l'matirin. It could therefore be bottle. It could be bottle in a taruvus if it's got nice and tam, right? If it's less than nice and tam. If you hold that, not like the Rambam, if you hold all you have to do is be mafgaret, then it's a davar she'ein l'matirin. All I have to do is take it to my front step. I take the taruvus, put it, and say it's hefker because of a zaycha boy, and it's, everything's good. So this discussion here, so Reb Shimon, his response, he's saying that the Mishnah later on, when it says that shviyas asus b'koshahu, it's talking about beer, meaning he holds like the other Rishonim, right? That's what he's saying over here. Look at number two. Since shviyas produce can be eaten even after the time of beer simply by declaring it ownerless, when the beer deadline arrives, it's considered a davar she'yesh lo matirin. Right. Okay. So how this is going to work out according to the Rambam, is a question. We're going to have to just leave it on the side. That's the way he explains. And two, he just explains that that's what Reb Shem must hold. According, that's the Rashi's explanation of the Yerushalmi. I didn't find out how the Rambam would know the Yerushalmi. Okay, so that's basically Reb Shimon's answer to the Chachamim. They asked him a question. They wanted to know what's going on with the next Mishnah. If we're talking about a davar she'ein lo matirin, How come it's answering b'koshahu? His answer is that we're talking about beer, and since we're talking about beer, it's not a davar she'ein lo matirin, it's a davar she'yesh lo matirin, because all you have to do is be mafkirit, and therefore it answers b'koshahu. Avala achila. But if we're talking about stam eating, then it's for nice and tam, because then it's not a din of koshahu. All right. Next. Ma'avdan layer of hila v'ravimi. We have to fear rice now. So the whole reason we brought this question, this brisa, with this the whole discussion between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, is for a purpose. We're using this as what? As a proof. Right? This is how it began. Don't forget how we began this. Hatevun. Not over there, sorry. That's not where it began. It began earlier than that. We had a machlokas, right? We have Rabbah and Rabimi. Remember? Let's try to. I know there's a lot to absorb. I do apologize, but we have to keep track of what the Gemara is talking about. We have a machlokas, Reb Ze'era, and Rabbah and Rabimi. So that was on Mem Tesem and Aleph. We had a question of.
Rabban Rabimi said that what grows in the eighth year cannot be mevatel at seven.
Correct. We said Rabbi Ze'era held that it could be mevatel it.
Right.
Given Shorobel of Hakadosh, once you have more growth in the eighth year than in the seventh year, then it's mevatel it. And we had Rabban and Rabimi saying that it's osur.
Right.
Now the purpose of bringing this machlokas is the Gemara began this on 49a3. The Gemara said, Masnisin pligo arablov arabimi. This brisa contradicts their shita that it cannot be mavatalit. Why? Because the Gemara assumes in 49b1, it says that the Gemara assumes that Rav Shimon's statement regarding the shvius produce applies to all kinds of mixtures, shvius and non-shvius produce. So we see that permitted growths can nullify the root. We see that there is a din of bittul. The only time he said that there's a din of no bittul, that's when we're talking about beer. When we're talking about achila, then it is shayach to have bittul. So that seems to be like Reb Ze'era was saying, contradiction of Law and Rabimi, who says you can't have growths nullifying the ikar. That's the question. Ma'avdalei Reb Hila and Rabimi. So the Gemara says, Pasul Leib Erevin. They say that's talking about where you have a mixture of the onion with other things, such as, for instance, if it's hard to find a case of an onion because it's so nicker, because it's pieces. But if you cooked it in a soup, for instance, that's what he says. They were cooked together with other foods and are not recognizable. Then that would be an example. Of a begidulin, when it comes to growths, so then that would not nullify the root. Chomer hu begidulin is a special chomer by gidulin. It says in number 10, this is the explanation, that since the growths themselves emerge from a forbidden root, the root is more significant than they are, and they cannot nullify it. So the growths emerge from the root. The root is seen as the main part of the plant. Therefore, logic dictates that what grows out of it should not be able to nullify it. And therefore, that's basically what it says. Okay. Now we have a little brief support from Law and Rabimi that growths are treated differently. Domer Rab Zeir or B'shem Rab Yonis, and here's a proof to their Shita.
Rab Zeir argues with those two, right?
Yes, this is going to be a problem that Rab Zeir is contradicting himself.
He's bringing a riot to them, even though he argues.
100%. Well, we can talk about that at the end. So Rab Zeir said this din. Batzel shel klei hakerem. If you have an onion of klayim, totally different subject now. We're talking about klayim now. You had an onion, it grew inside a vineyard. If you remember, we said last year, last Pesachta, I should say not last year, last Pesachta, it becomes Osir Bahanoah. Shah Karai, you uprooted it, right? Usha Salai, and then you replanted it someplace else where it was free and clear of any vines. Afilo Hesif Kama, even if it grew much, much more, it could grow three times the size that it was before. Osir, it remains Osir. She'ang gidulei heter malon es ha'isr, because what grows doesn't make something that was usr mutter, which is exactly what they said. That's what Rav Law's position was.
It's not about Rove anymore.
Right. You can't nullify something.
We didn't bring this to undo the idea that we had before.
This is exactly what we're saying. That chaymer hu b'gedulim. There's a special chaymer by gedulim. Okay, and the more that we have almost done. Masisa pliga al Reb Zeira. So now we have a mission that contradicts of Zeira. Reb Zeira again said
the riot that he brought to Reb Law and Reb whoever he was. That's going to contradict Reb Zeira immediately.
Correct. And the footnote. He addresses that in footnote 15. I didn't want to get into it right now because it's so late.
Okay.
I mean, if you were interested in the Teretz, those who aren't going to stay, or even if you are going to stay, whatever it is, it's in footnote 15. He discusses how Reb Zeira doesn't seem to be, it seems to be contradicting himself. So the Gemara says, Masnisa, basically, let me just tell you in two short lines. Let's just, again, restate the question. Reb Zeira said that the rove of the onion is Mavatel, the onion. And over here, he's saying that the gedulin by the klei hakerem are not mavatal. It's a contradiction. The answer, he says, is pashut. It depends from where does the isser come from. The isser of shvius comes from the ground. The isser of klei hakerem is the fruit itself. So when the fruit itself was the source of the isser, so there you can't be mavatal just because it grows more. The source of the isser is the fruit itself. And therefore, having more growth, doesn't matter if it's three times as much, it's not going to be matarit. But when the source of the isser is the ground, the fact that it grew from a ground, so then we look at nutrients. And nutrients can, it refreshes the whole thing. It gives a new panim chadashos. That's basically what he says. In short, that's what 15 says. And the Rambam says it explicitly. I found afterwards, the Rambam says, if you look in Perek Vav in Shemitah and Yovel, you'll see he says it exactly. Masisa pligar of Zeira. There's a Mishnah contradiction of Zeira. This Ninon, Yidulei Truma Truma. It says that the growths of Truma are Truma. So if I have Truma and I decide, you know what, I'm not going to give it to the Kohen, I'll replant the Truma in the ground and then it'll grow new plants and those won't be Truma. So min ha-Torah, that's true. Gedulei Truma Minat Torah, not really Truma, but the Chachamim made a Gzeira, not allowing it to happen, because the two Chashashas, he brings to the bottom, the Chashash is that I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to keep Truma to Meya possibly, and then and try to retire it, and that won't be good. That's one reason. Or I'll try to be mafsa the Kohen. But Gedulei Geduleim Kulin, if it grows, if I plant what grew from the first plant, and I plant that, that's a second level, then that's Kulin. Then it says, Avol Tevol, it comes to Tevol, Maizrishin, Usrich HaShviyas, Usrumas Chutzlar, Sahamaduma, Vahabikurin, Geduleim Kulin. That there are other examples here where what grows is chulin, that it doesn't take on the chulin, because the gzeiros that I just talked about don't apply to these things. The Tony Allah, Madvar Mamurim, Bedavar Shazari Kola. That's only true if the seed disappears. But if the seed continues to exist, Davar Shein Zari Kola, like an onion, Gedula Gedulin Asur, and then the Gedulin are Asur. So you have in the list over there onions among the items whose seeds do not decompose when planted, and it teaches that the onions of Shvius do not become permitted by their growth or even the growth of the growth, which contradicts of Zaira's ruling that an onion of Shvius was uprooted and then replanted, then it will become mutter. So that's we have a problem on Reb Zaira. That's a question. The top of the next page is Ma'avilar Reb Zaira, and he says basically the same answer again. Of the Reb Zera, he passed a lot of Kedusha Shvias, but be your Vlachila Kimshav Vlachadash is Mutter. Basically, he says the same teretz again, that it depends whether you're talking about the Achila or talking about the beer. That is the end of today's page. So I appreciate you all hanging in there for the extra 15 minutes.